Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Before we begin, let's pray together. Our Father, we call upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you and bless and praise your name. We ask you, Lord, would you help us this evening to worship? Lord, without your blessing, nothing is profitable. I ask you to help us to hear. Help us to see with new eyes, given from above, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I'd like to look at verses 3 to 7. We had started this chapter last time I was in 1 Corinthians 9. And the Apostle Paul had revealed, obviously, that there were some, either at the church there in Corinth, or some that knew of his work there, that questioned his apostleship, questioned whether or not he was actually the one that replaced Judas, making Paul then the 12th apostle. Now that action, trying to cast a doubt upon Paul's apostleship, was for no other reason than the hatred of God's word. And also to appease a guilty conscience. When there's a walk of consistency, when there's found consistency in truth, consistency in a walk, consistency in a conversation before God, all those that oppose the gospel of God's free grace are going to find fault. There's always resistance to that walk. You never find resistance to those that are liars, but you do find resistance to those that will walk godly in Christ Jesus. Believers are in a world, a religious world, that hates them. And I'll be honest with you, I'm seeing that more and more. The resistance against the gospel of God's free grace. People say, well, I don't have anybody, you know, resisting me, fighting against me. Just hang on. It won't be long. Believe me, the time will arise when you'll find a stand for the truth is going to be met with hatred and resistance against. Rest assured, the spirit of unbelief is going to manifest itself against the Lord. There'll be an attempt to silence those, especially those that are sent to preach the gospel. So Paul's call to the position as being an apostle was one that was defended by Paul. And he made this statement that we looked at last time, under the direction of God's Spirit. He said, am I an apostle? Am I one that has personally been called, personally taught, personally commissioned and sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, and given gifts as manifestations of that calling? He said, am I not free? Have I not been freed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ from the bondage and the curse and the dominion of sin? Am I not free from the penalty of the law and the terror of the justice of Almighty God? Am I not free from the lie of my old man that tells me that I must keep the law for righteousness? That's a lie that every one of us was born with. We've got a heart that is desperately wicked, that it lies to us, tells us, you got to do something in order to be saved? Am I not free? Then he said, have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Did the Lord not appear to the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, in resurrected glory when he was on the road to Damascus? Then he asked, he said, are ye not my work in the Lord? Has the Lord not actually been pleased to raise up an assembly, he was asking, here in Corinth, and bless the word to the calling out of his elect? The only message that is going to be blessed by the Spirit of God is going to be the message of the gospel. And Paul said, you're the evidence of God's blessing. Then he says in verse 3, he said, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Now that statement right there, it appears to be the opening or the beginning of the next verses that we're going to look at, but it could also be the conclusion of what he's just said. He said, he gave these statements that I just made. Am I an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus? He said, this is my answer. This is my answer to what men have been saying. Then he says in verses 4 to 6, have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power, or the right is what he's saying. When he says power, he's talking about the right to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, or I only and Barnabas, have not we power or right to forbear working? When the Lord called his apostles, he called them unto himself, and he called them to the ministry. And I want you to hold your place there and turn to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Just look at a few verses here. When our Lord called the apostles. Matthew 10, look at Matthew 10 verse 1. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Then he says in verse 5 to 10, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. 12 men were outwardly called to the ministry. 11 of them were heartily made fit by the Lord Jesus Christ in regenerating grace for that calling. Men called and commissioned to the great work of being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men, 11 of them for sure, were taught and sent to preach the gospel with a particular message. The gospel of God's sovereign saving grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's preachers are never to deviate from that message. This thing of prophecy and politics or matters of morality, they are never a substitute for the proclamation that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That message that God's salvation has been made manifest in Christ, that message that gives all the glory unto the Lord himself. Now there were 12 men given this commission, of which I've said 11 of them were heartily called. One of them was a tare. One of them was a devil. That's what the Lord said. Have I not called you 12? One of you is a devil. And the Lord sent those 12 men, and Judas was doing what the others were doing. He was preaching just exactly what he was hearing. So these men were sent by the Lord to do this. He said, I want you to go and preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, who are they? Well, they're God's elect. They are those that have been given to Christ before the foundation of the world. Those who have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Those sought out ones. Those who have been everlastingly loved in Christ. And those who will, in regenerating grace, end up saying just exactly, I'll turn to this in Philippians, what the Apostle Paul said of himself after the Lord called him out of darkness, Ephesians chapter 3, 7 to 10. He said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. We've read that so many times before. But every person called out of darkness, this is what they're going to say concerning what they used to find all their comfort in, all their hope in. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. That which the Spirit of God has been pleased to teach me concerning God's grace in Christ, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, I do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I just read something that joggled my mind. Yesterday, I got something in the mail. I got a packet. It was about, I don't know, a dozen, 15 of these newspapers. It was a religious newspaper thing that was sent to me by an organization that I was familiar with in another state. Why they started sending it to me, I don't know. But anyway, when I read this, verse 9, be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ, the faithfulness of Christ. His faithfulness imputed to me. When I got this packet of newspaper things, I opened it up. When I looked at it, I knew what it was. But I started reading on the top of it what they believed. And here's what they believe. They believe that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. That salvation is by faith. And that was far enough for me. Salvation is not by faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. If you tell somebody that salvation is by faith, that means what you're saying is salvation by what you did. And so I just took them and pitched them. Salvation by the faith of Jesus Christ. I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is what we're doing tonight. You know who I'm preaching to? I'm preaching to the lost sheep of the spiritual house of Israel. But here's the problem. Not a problem, it's just my ignorance. I don't know who they are. But I do know that they're among us. I know that the Lord has a people. And I know that we have the message that Almighty God is going to bless to the calling out. So here's what we do. We preach it. We preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Almighty God has a kingdom. And this is the day of grace. This is the period when the Lord's going to call out His people. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. So God's preachers are sent to preach. You go and preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, the Lord told him, he said, don't provide for yourself. Don't worry about what's going to be needed. God's preachers are not men of greed. They've been given a message, he said, as you freely have received. Verse 8, Matthew 10, verse 8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received. What do I have concerning the message of the gospel that I've not been taught? Nothing. The message that I preach is what the Lord has taught me. So what do I do as I freely received it, freely give it, freely preach it? God's people have been sent to preach a message taught by Almighty God. And they're not in the ministry to enrich themselves in this world's good, but they're to be found faithful to the Lord's calling and commission. They're not to deviate for the sake of monetary gains or to grovel or beg. How many times have you ever been watching television? Those, you know, the channels, every time I stop on one, and Glenda will say, "Why? Why? All you're going to do is get mad." I said, "I know it. I want to hear it. Why? If you don't send money, this ministry is going to shut down." Well, then, let it shut down. But they'll never say that. God's people don't grovel for the maintenance of the ministry. They don't deviate because of sustenance. God's ministry is sustained by the Lord Himself. Those that are called of God live by the gospel through the Lord's faithfulness to provide for them through those that benefit from the gospel they preach. God's people are not browbeaten. How many messages have you ever heard me preaching on giving and tithing and stuff? You know, it's the truth. There's no doubt about that. But here's what the scriptures has to say. As the Lord prospers the man, so let him give. What's the rule? No rules. God's word. Almighty God is going to provide. The apostle Paul had told the church, the Lord has called us to the ministry. A full-time ministry. A ministry that demands faithfulness. And the labor of this ministry is the life of God's preacher, and it's the life of those to whom he preaches. But the apostle Paul asked this question: do we not have the same rights as you do? Do we not have the right to lead about a wife and to eat and drink and be married and support our families just like the others? Apostle, someone asked Brother Henry one time, he said, "How much do you think we ought to pay our pastor?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, do." He said, "Just take an average of what everybody makes in the congregation, and whatever the average is, pay him that." I thought, good enough. When I was spoken to by the six men, I think, I know Carl, you were there, Brother Bob Wilson was there, Daryl Hardin was there, Glenn, you were there, Pat, you were there, and money wasn't even an issue. Money wasn't the issue. The only issue was this: is this where the Lord would have me to be? And do you know what? I hadn't missed one meal. To my knowledge, I've not missed one. Why? Because the Lord has provided. Back in 1 Corinthians 9, I just let myself not get away. Look at verse 8. "Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it's written, in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Don't stop the ox. If he's pulling a plow and he's eating as he goes, don't try to stop him. Don't, you know, doth God not take care of oxen? Or saith he altogether, for our sakes, no doubt it's written that he that ploweth should plow in hope, faithfulness, believing that God's going to provide, and that he thresheth in hope, confidence in the Lord, should be a taker or partaker of this hope. So even the law provided prohibited the muzzling of the ox while he was plowing, trying to not stop him from eating a few ears of corn. So the Lord who commanded these things is telling all of us. He said, I will provide for you. I'll give you pastors according to my heart. They're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding, and I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. So the apostle declares those who plow should do so with expectation that the Lord is going to keep them. But I want to now go and look in closing. I purposefully didn't say anything about verse 7. And I want to look at verse 7, and this is actually where the whole message is going to be found this evening. Verse 7, and I want to make a few statements about this verse in light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul has been talking about the efforts and the rewards that are due. A pastor's called, and he's called to the ministry. He's called to be faithful to this ministry, forsaking all else. What else does he give up? Give up everything. They'll say, well, you could do so and so. Yeah, I guess I could. Charles Spurgeon said one time, the world looks at a preacher, a God-called preacher, and says he couldn't do anything else but that. Mr. Spurgeon says, all the God-called preachers that I know are men that God has gifted, and they could do anything they wanted to do, humanly speaking. But God's called them to the ministry, and they give up everything else for the sake of the ministry. But let's look at verse 7. Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Now, this verse right here is the summing up of everything that we've been talking about. And the apostle gives three examples showing, well, humanly speaking, how reasonable it is for ministers to be sustained and supported by those to whom they minister. He asks this question. Does a soldier go to war, serve his country at his own expense? Does he train himself, buy his own weapons, and provide all of his daily needs? You men that were in the military, how many of you bought all of your own weapons and you trained yourself and you do? How many of you? None of you. None of you. No, we went to boot camp, and after we got out of boot camp, we went to wherever they told us to go, and that's what we did. And they provided everything that we needed, and then told us when to get up, when to go to bed, and where to be, and what to do, and what to eat. What man, what soldier provides for himself? Or does a farmer plant a garden and not eat of the fruits of that garden? Or does a shepherd have a flock, and does he not partake of the meat and milk of that flock? Now these examples, though they are pertaining to God's ministers, this passage right here has got a much deeper significance than just talking about the responsibility of God's preachers being sustained and the reward that is given to God's ministers. It is a shadow, a picture of the glory and the reward of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who is the mighty God, he who has conquered the enemies of his people, death, hell, and the grave, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ is said to have a garden. What man, what farmer has a garden and he doesn't partake of that garden or benefit from that garden? Is that true? Yes, that's true. But does the Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at him who is the minister, the true minister, does he not have a garden? And does he not tend that garden, the church? Listen to Song of Solomon 4:12. Does he have a garden? It says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring, a fountain, sealed and protected. Does he have a garden? Yes. Well, Paul also asked, he said, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Let me ask you this. Is the Lord Jesus Christ refreshed by the fruit that he has produced by his Spirit out of his garden? Song of Solomon 5:1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Does a farmer have a garden? And does he not benefit from it? Yes. Yes. Yes, he does. Is a preacher sustained by those that the Lord has given him, you know, humanly? But yes, but what about the Lord? What about his garden? Is he refreshed? He says he is. He says that he drinks and eats and enjoys the presence of his people. Eating, and I'm way over my head here, eating of that which he has produced, spiritually refreshing himself. Did the Lord say, does a soul who goeth a warfare anytime as at his own charge? Was the Lord not called out from among men as the great high priest? Yes, he was. He came into this world. Now, let me ask you this. Of him who is the high priest, is he not also the mighty conqueror? Who goeth to war at any time at his own expense? The Lord was sent by his Father, sent and upheld by his Father. Listen to these words as he's the one, now, the one that has been given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father's given him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to his words of complete humiliation. He says, withhold, Psalm 40, verses 11 to 12, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindnesses and thy truth continually preserve me. Did he go to war at his own expense? He was sent of his Father. Does a soldier provide for himself? The Lord Jesus Christ, it says here, humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, calling upon his Father, preserve me, provide for me, uphold me. Was he not that soldier that went to warfare, not at his own charge? Was he not the victorious Savior that John saw in the book of the Revelation? As he beheld a white horse, he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. But is he not the mighty high priest to whom we look and believe and trust? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a garden and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of that flock? He is the good shepherd of the sheep. He purchased that flock by his own blood, and he daily cares for that flock, causing them to rest in him, making them to lie down in the green pastures of his grace. Those that he leads beside the still waters of what? Those waters of quietness, the law that has been satisfied and now finds no fault in his own through the merits of the great conqueror. And he feasts with joy upon those that he continually cares for. Oh, beloved, may the Lord be pleased this evening to give us all a heart to know the blessed privilege that we have to hear and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that the cost of hearing and believing this truth, he paid with his precious blood. And though the work of the ministry is one of great demands, I'll tell you, even the daily demands of preparation, I understand this, but what a beautiful type and picture of his sufferings and his faithfulness. I was talking to Brother Tom Harding. We was talking the other day, and he told me, he said, "Marvin," he said, "you know, I'm here about 7 days a week." And I said, "I know." I said, "Yeah, me too. You know, the work of the ministry, but oh, the work that he accomplished. Everything that we do is but a picture. It's but a type. The sufferings that we suffer for the sake of the gospel. What about his sufferings? What about that work that he wrought and the demands upon him? And that burden that we have now, that we suffer, hated, those of our own family that hate us and despise us. You know what the Apostle Paul, he said, this burden is truly to us light. As we cast ourselves upon him who has borne our grief. We bear grief, but oh, the grief that he did bear. The sorrows that we have, but oh, the sorrows that he carried. He was smitten of God, afflicted for us, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, carried the chastisement of his people, laid upon him, and by whose stripes we're eternally healed, considering the resentment, the ridicule, the accusations of us being unfaithful. Hasn't the Lord been faithful to us to keep us in the midst of these things? Has he not sustained us up until this time? And let me ask you this. Of all the trials that we've suffered, trials and afflictions and lies and everything else, would you change it? You wouldn't change it for anything. All of that which he's caused us to bear, God's people, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we call upon him who called upon his Father. We look to him who looked to his Father. We pray this evening that the Lord might be pleased to teach us in all that he's been pleased to do in this assembly, in the maintaining of this assembly for over 60 years, 62 years. Almighty God has kept us, and we're still here. How many times have I, and I'm just admitting my own faithlessness, how many times have I looked around and I thought, well, some of us are getting older. Some of us are getting older. I don't know, you know, the Lord is faithful. You know how long this assembly is going to be here? just as long as the Lord's pleased to keep it here. And when the Lord's pleased to remove it, He'll remove it. But until that day, this is what He's called us to do. Faithful to the ministry. Faithful to the preaching of the gospel. And I want you to know, truthfully, to those of you that love and sustain and provide for this ministry, I thank God for you. Pray the Lord's blessing upon you. For Christ's sake, amen.